seated.
I feel like a helicopter pilot with this, with my tools here. I'm bringing the word this morning. TU has asked me to bring a word this morning. And in one way, it's a great privilege, but it's also a big responsibility. It can be a little bit nerve-wracking to stand in front of a lot of people and talk. But I want to thank God for His Word. I want to thank Him for revelation. I want to thank Him for truth. I want to thank Him for wisdom and for insight. Not for me, but for everybody. Because God is a God of truth. It says the truth will set the captives free. If you receive His truth, He will set us free. And every single one of us is taken captive by non-truth, which is a lie, which is deception, which is the world. The world is, there's a lot of deception in the world. And I'm just so blessed by that tithing message we got this morning. Good stuff, man, good stuff. Because he's talking, that's real life, man. He's talking about real life. He's not talking, it's not a soap opera. It's not something you see on TV, but it's real life. And it doesn't matter where we start off. It doesn't matter where we start off. It's what we do with what we have. It's what we do with the little things that we have. And not just money. We're not talking about money. Today, I'm talking about stewardship. Stewardship includes money stewardship, but there's a lot more than stewardship of money. I just want to put my alarm clock on here, otherwise I might talk too long. I inherited it. It's an insider joke. I inherited it from my father. We talk a lot. When we get going. Sometimes not much, but when we get going, talk a lot. So today I want to talk about stewardship. And okay, first of all, let's open our Bibles at Luke 12, verse 42 to 46. That's going to be our root scripture, the base note. The base note. So Luke 12, 42 to 46. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Talks about a master, and he's got stewards, and he gives them a job to do. And he says when he comes back, and they are actually doing the job that they received, then they will be blessed. And it keeps on going. It says, "Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." This is a steward, somebody just received a normal, he just got a job. And all he did was he just did his job. And at the end, it says, "And truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." By doing his job, he has the opportunity to become ruler of all that his master has. And then it keeps going. It says, "But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him." So the master will come back and he will surprise his steward. "And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So the steward got a job, several stewards, and they each got a job. And the master said, when he came back and he saw some of them doing the job, he said, "Great, I will make you ruler over many things." And those who were not doing the job and used that opportunity for their own indulgence, and they did whatever they felt like doing, their own thing, they ended up being cut in two. I don't know if it was cut like that or cut like that, but anyway, they were cut in two. And they were appointed the portion with the unbelievers. Anyway, two contrasts. Now, I don't know if you realized or know that you have been entrusted with a stewardship, whether you like it or not, and that is the stewardship of your life. The first gift that we've received ever in our lives is what? It is life. And some of you might be stressed. Most of you are very young, but some of you might be a little bit worried about your age. But guess what? You're actually 9 months older than what you thought. Because life begins at conception. When you're conceived in the womb, God created a new life. So your birthday actually starts there. When you come out, it's actually the, what can we call it? Your court day or something like that. You catch babies. It's when I was caught. Anyway, but we've been entrusted with the stewardship of our lives. So this is a gift that we got. Now God is saying, this is what I'm giving you. I'm giving you this life. What are you going to do with that life? Are you going to live a life for me, what I've created you for? That means I've created you for a specific purpose. And what that means, I've entrusted you with a specific stewardship. Or are you going to go and do your own thing and disregard what I planned for you, what I, the stewardship I gave you? So that's the starting off. So first of all, we are entrusted with the stewardship of our lives. If we read Genesis 1, verse 22 to 29, there it is up there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that comes on the earth." So what is he doing? He's giving them a stewardship. He's telling them what to do. He's telling them what to do, but he's also giving them, he's giving them the stewardship. He's saying to them, I put all this under your care. You the boss. You the boss of what I've given you. I'm not going to be there to tell you every day what to do. I've given you this, and this is a stewardship. You the boss. So he's telling us, you are the boss of your life. Okay? You're the boss of your life. I've given you certain guidelines, but it is up to you to follow those guidelines or not. But we heard in the first scripture the two contrasts. We follow the guidelines, this happens. If we don't follow the guidelines, that happens. But God is not, he's not a shepherd of robots. We are not robots. God doesn't program us and says, you will walk this way now and walk that way, and you will be a good steward. He programs, he puts a chip in us and says, you will be a good steward. That's not how God works. And he puts a chip in our minds and says, you will love me, you will follow me, you will know my word, you will follow and do what I say. He is not like that. He gives us the choice. He says to us, this is what I've given you. I've made you the boss. You choose. But remember, I've given you certain guidelines. Now, there are lots of things that we are stewards of in our life. Our life is split up in lots of little things. But first, before we go there, I want to read a very long piece of scripture. It's not that long, but it's long enough. It's Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. It's about the parable of the talents. If you think about stewardship and being given authority over something, I usually think of the parable of the talents. So you might not all know that parable, but it's a very famous parable. Now, Matthew verse 25, 14 to 30, it starts off. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So it's a man traveling to a far country. He's got all these goods and things, and he calls his servants to them, and he delivers his goods to them. He says, all my goods I deliver to you, because I'm going to travel off. Somebody needs to look after my goods. I'm going to give these to you. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, one, to each according to his own ability. Now there's another key there. God gives us stewardship over things according to our own ability. He's not going to call me to be a doctor because I'm not able to. He's not going to tell me to do surgery on somebody because that's not. I'm not able to do that. And yeah. So I'm thankful God is not going to do that to me. He's not going to say, I want you to do operation here. Yeah. Don't let me do that because I'm not able to do that. He's not going to call everybody to be the president of the country. It doesn't mean everybody has got the same opportunity to become the president. Because why? Not everybody wants to be the president, and God hasn't called everybody to be the president. And he hasn't called everybody to be the CEO of a big country. The CEO of a big company. But some might be called to be leaders of big companies, but that person does not have the ability to be a father of five children. He's not going to call him to be a father of five children because he's going to mess it up. Somebody is called to be father of five children because he's very good at it, or mother of five children, but they are not necessarily called to be CEOs of big companies. Anyway, there's a bit of a contrast there. So, if we keep going, according to their ability, and immediately he went on his journey. This is the master who went on his journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them. He traded with them. He dealt with them. And made another five talents. So he took his five talents, and he traded, and he made another five. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. The one who had two talents went, he traded with them, and he got two more. Good job. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So the guy who got one talent, he decided, I'm just going to dig a hole and chuck it in there and close it. So now the master comes back and says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents and said, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents beside them. So you gave me five, I got five more. I took your five and I made you five more. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So he received the talents. Now remember, these guys have received talents and they got a job to do. He didn't just say, poof, there you are, the talents. I'm heading off. He said, here are your talents. You know what I'm expecting of you. You know that I'm expecting you to take these and make more. Be good stewards of what I give you. So the ones with five and two, they went and they made more money. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So the one who got five made five more, so he made ten. The one who got two made two more, so he got four. Even though he got less than the one who got five, God still decided to make him ruler over many things. Both of them got the same outcome because they used what they had, and they both produced double what they had, even though they didn't start off with the same amount. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he took the talent, hid it, and his master came back and he said, here's your talent back. But something's missing. Something's missing. The servant didn't do what was expected of him. He didn't take stewardship. He decided to ignore the stewardship of that talent. He decided to just dig it in a hole and go off and do his own thing. That is the difference here. It's not a case of the poor guy didn't know what to do with it. It's a case of the guy knew what was expected, but he just decided not to do what the master told him to do, but to rather forget about it and not make it his issue. He said, I'm not going to make this my issue. I'm digging it in a hole. I'm closing it. I'm heading off. He didn't even try. But his Lord answered and said, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So he says, you just decided not to make it your problem and you stuck it in a hole. Instead of at least thinking a little bit about it and put it in the bank where I can get some interest at least. At least you are doing something. But you decided to do nothing. So I'm taking yours and I'm going to give it to the one who's going to make me the most money, who's the guy who has the 10 talents. Why should I give it to you if you're going to waste it? I'd rather give it to somebody who's going to do something with it. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, those who have will receive more. And those who don't have will even lose what they have. He's not talking here about rich people and poor people. He's talking about people who have received an opportunity and who use that opportunity. And he will give them more. And he's talking about those who've received opportunity and have wasted the opportunity. That is what he's talking about here. He's not talking about money. Those who have lots of money, those who have little money. Because there are people with lots of money who are absolutely wasting the money and using it for their own gain. They are not doing with the money that God has called them to do with it, even though they have lots of money. It's not about the amount of money. It's about what you do with what God has given you. So, there are benefits of good stewardship, and there are results of bad stewardship. We've just seen that. If you're a good steward, what will happen? You will receive more, and you will be made ruler over much. So not only, because they all start off with their own talents and making something with it, but God said, if you are faithful with what I've given you, I will make you ruler over much. I will give you other people to give talents to make more of it. Because I see that you are faithful with what I give you, so you are able to teach others to do the same thing as what you have done. But the one who's dug his talent in the hole and ignored it, I'm not going to give you anything. I'd rather take from you because you're going to waste that and I'm going to lose it. I'd rather take it away from you because I'm way better off taking it from you and getting rid of you, because if I keep you even around me, you're going to start contaminating everybody else around us. I'm rather going to get rid of you before you start sowing bad seed. Now, stewardship, what is the root of stewardship, of good stewardship, of godly stewardship? There are lots of stewards around, but it doesn't mean that they're good stewards. There are lots of stewards around of big things. There are a lot of leaders of countries around, but they're not really necessarily the best stewards. So, if somebody is a steward of big things, it doesn't mean they are good stewards. It doesn't mean they are a good person. So, you can't judge good stewardship by the size of the stewardship, by the size of what they are doing, what they are looking after. So, stewardship starts with servanthood. What is servanthood? Servanthood means I am serving someone else and not me. If the master comes, or the owner of the boss comes and says, "Can you do this for me?" then you say, "I will serve you. I won't serve myself. I will serve you." So stewardship starts with servanthood. Jesus said, "I haven't come to be served, but I have come to serve." The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the Living God said, "I did not come to be served. I came to serve you." Now, I want to talk about lots of little areas, big and small areas, of stewardship in our lives. Now, just the other thing also, A steward reaps the, a steward has the benefit of his stewardship. That is also something. If you look at Daniel, okay, he had a tough life, but then he ended up being the administrator, the CEO, the boss, or whatever, of all the country. The king said to him, I want you to be the CEO of this country. You decide what happens, when, where. So Daniel reaped the benefit of being in that position. He obviously had a nice house, he had everything, and he had the use. He had the use of what he was steward over. The king said, you are the boss. I'm making you the boss. You can use this because I can trust you. I know you won't misuse it. I know you, but therefore you can use it. If you look at Joseph, Joseph was also made steward over the whole country. After he was in prison, he was in jail. And why was that? Because he saw that he was faithful. The king saw he was faithful. So he said, okay, I'll make you ruler rather because you're actually better than me. And he was faithful. And he reaped the benefit of it. He had a big house, he had big lands, he had everything. He could use all that was within his stewardship because the king trusted him. So being a steward doesn't mean you are just going to work for your master and not get anything from it. You reap the benefit, but you never own it. You are never the owner of what you are steward over. So let's look at a few things. Let's look at a few things that we are stewards over. Maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't know it. Hopefully, a lot of this will be new and revelation to you, because if you receive a revelation, you will be able to make changes. So, we are stewards of our lives. We just spoke about that, right? We are stewards. We can either choose to take our life and to not make it our problem and just go ahead and do whatever we feel like doing, or we can look at our life and say, Lord, God, how can I use my life for your glory? I want to be a good steward of my life. I want to make something of my life. In Acts 13, verse 36, it talks about David. It says, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, David, King David, he fell asleep, he was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. It talks about God's purpose. David served God's purpose in his own generation, not his own purpose. He said, my life, I will serve God. I will serve you. And an interesting bit is, when he died, he was buried with his father, and his body decayed. What does that mean? It means there's nothing left of King David. His body was eaten up by worms. That's what our life is like, right? Our life starts... We do whatever we do, and at the end of the day, we die, and we get eaten up by worms. That's the end, right? So we have an opportunity span. From the day we start, and the day we have enough sense, obviously when you're a baby, you don't really know what you're doing, but there comes a time when you understand stewardship, and you have enough time till the day you die, and you get eaten up by worms. Even a great man like King David, he got eaten up by worms, right? But what is left of David? Every single Christian in the world who's ever read the Bible knows about David and uses David as an example. So what's left is not his body and his flesh and his bones. Maybe his bones are somewhere. But what's left is what he did in his life. Good stewardship. We learn from him. I'm so grateful for this man because, man, I learn a lot from this guy, David. I learned so much from this man. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. This is now Paul, Apostle Paul speaking. He says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies living sacrifices, which means you're giving your body and your life to God. You can actually choose. Either you keep your life, or you give your life to God. And if you do that, you give your life to God, He will lead you, and He will lead you into everlasting life. I don't trust myself with my life. I choose to give my life to God rather. Say, Lord, here's my life, because I'm going to make a big mess up of my life if I keep it to myself. So the next thing is time. We are stewards of our time. God has given each one of us time. He says, here's time. You do with it what you feel. You be boss of your time. So the question is, what do we do with our time? Do we sit in front of the TV? Do we surf the net? Do we sleep? Or do we use our time? Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. If you have a slack hand, which means you just don't feel like doing anything, you're just hanging around, and you're wasting your time, you become poor. Because money doesn't grow on trees, but if you are diligent, it makes rich. If you're diligent, it makes rich. Doesn't matter what position you are in, where you are. If you are diligent, the outcome and the result of that will be, you will be rich. Okay, time. Talents. What do we do with our talents? Do we use our talents for our own gain? If I look at all these rock stars and movie stars and all these kind of people, especially the musicians, the rock stars, what are they doing with their talents? They're using their talents to receive worship. They want to be famous. I want to be American Idol. I'm going to use my talent for my own gain. And what's the end of those people? Most of them divorce, you know, all big issues and problems. Or are you using your talent for God's glory? Are you using your talent for God's glory? There are two things to do with a talent, is to use it for our own gain or for the benefit of others. So we are stewards of our talents. Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 reads, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit. So spiritual gifts. Prophecy, healing, lots of different spiritual gifts, right? They're 12. They're all used for the benefit of all. So you do get people who use spiritual gifts for their own benefit, for their own glory. Unfortunately, that is so. Some people might think that if you can't have spiritual gifts unless you are a child of God. Yes, you can be a child of God and still be a bad steward of your spiritual gift. God gives spiritual gifts and He doesn't take them away again. So there are people who use their spiritual gifts for their own gain, unfortunately. So we use our spiritual gifts for the benefit of all. Then revelation and wisdom. Revelation and wisdom is something that we receive. Eh? It's not something that we earn. You can't earn revelation and wisdom. You know, you can't say to God, Lord, I'm going to run around Swakopmund 3 times and then I expect you to give me revelation. Every time I make a lap around Swakop, I get more revelation. Revelation means understanding, gives the word. It means the Bible and understanding something in the Bible. And wisdom is also the same thing. You can't earn wisdom. You can't work hard for wisdom. God either gives it to you or He doesn't. So it's a gift. So what do we do with that wisdom? King Solomon, God asked King Solomon, He said, what do you want? What do you want? If God asks you and says to you, I'll give you anything you want, what are you going to say? I want a big car. I want lots of money. And God says, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. No, King Solomon said, I don't want a car. I don't want a lot of money. I want you, God, Lord God, to give me wisdom, not for my own gain, so that I may impress everybody around me, but so that I may judge your people well. You have a country. You've entrusted this country and these people to me. I want to have the ability and the wisdom to judge them well, to be a good king. And what did God do? He said, man, that is the right answer. I've given you a stewardship, a job, and what are you saying? What are you doing? You're asking me to give you skill to do your job well. And what did God do? He ended up giving him the most wisdom as anybody has ever had. All the kings and queens and leaders and everybody from all over the world at that time traveled to Solomon to hear just a few words that he can speak because he had so much wisdom. When he opened his mouth, wisdom came out of it. Because God saw he's a good steward. He will be a good steward of the wisdom that I give him. So we all have received a measure of wisdom and a measure of revelation. And I tell you now, If you have a bit of wisdom and you use it to bless others, God will give you more. And if you have more, you give a little bit more to others and He will give you more. What do I mean about that? If somebody comes to you with a problem, with an issue, or you see something in someone's life and you love that person, you first need to love somebody. You need to speak in love. And you say, I see that there's something you're doing which is wrong. Let me give you some wisdom. This is what I see. This is my understanding of that situation that you are in. You are blessing that person. Or if somebody comes to you and says, I don't know what to do here. I'm in this situation now. I don't know what to do. God gives you that wisdom and you use that wisdom to help that person. He will give you more. He will give you more and keep giving you more. Keep giving you more. Same thing with revelation of the Word. If you know something about God and somebody can benefit or you can help somebody with something from the Bible, you say to him, you know, I've been in this situation before and this is my understanding. God helped me here and He did this for me. Why don't you try the same thing? That's revelation. That's using a revelation. It's being a good steward of revelation. Being a bad steward of revelation is going to somebody and saying, you're going to hell because in the Word it says this. That's bad steward of revelation. You're not helping that person. You're condemning the person. Revelation, or somebody comes to you and says, you know, this is what I understand in the Word. No, you are wrong. This is what it's like. And it says, no, but really this. No, you're wrong. This is what it's like. If you fight over revelation, you are losing it. Okay? So God gives us revelation so that we may live godly lives, but also that we may bless others around us. So then marriage. Not everybody here is married, but if you are married, did you know that you've been entrusted with a stewardship? You are in control of that marriage. You are in control of that marriage. If you mess it up, who messed it up? You can't go to God and say, God, you messed up this marriage. God, who did you give? Look at what person, who you gave me. It's your fault. No, no, no. It's not God's fault if you mess up your marriage. You hear what I'm saying? If you mess up your marriage, you either mess it up or you make a success of your marriage. If you need help, you ask God. You say, God, this person, it's not the same person I married. Who is this that you gave me? Then you pray. You say, Lord, you get on your knees, you pray and fast. And you say, Lord, give me grace, first of all. Don't say the first prayer shouldn't be, change this person. First prayer should be, give me grace to love this person, even though it's so hard. And He will give you the grace. And then He will change the other person if they need changing. He will first change you. And then He will change the other person. But if you don't pray, if you just give up and say, oh, this is not the person I want to be with anymore, then you have messed up your marriage, not God. So anyway, I'm not here to condemn anybody, but it's important to know these things. I mean, first of all, it starts with revelation. How are we going to change anything if we don't know that it's wrong or if we don't know better? So the important thing is to know, first of all. I just want to say that I see, you know, there's a scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what you have got planned for those who love you, who love God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what you've got planned for those who love you. And He's talking about everybody here today. He's saying, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what I've got planned for you who love me, says the Lord. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Everybody here. But He's saying those who love me. So, I see a lot of big plans in this room. Everybody. You know, the great thing about stewardship is, and the great thing about God's grace is, we can change. We can make a change today. If we might think now, oh my hat, I've gone so wrong. I suck at a steward. But all these things I've said now. It's not the end. Don't worry. We haven't lost it yet. You know, God's gracious. He's saying, yes, you might have sucked as a steward up to now in certain areas. But don't worry. I'm going to redeem the time because you want to make a difference. Because you want to. If you don't want to, then it's your own problem. But you want to. And I believe everybody here wants to be a better steward. So, guess what? You will be a better steward. Anyway, so marriage is one. Children is the other one. God gives children to people. And He expects them to be good stewards of these children. Because why? Because they are His children. God doesn't give us, He doesn't give your children to you. God gives His children to you. And He expects each one to be a good steward of His children. Then friendships. What do we do with our friendships? Are we good stewards of our friendships? I just find it amazing. A friendship to me is like, it's a gift. Did you realize that friends are gifts? Did you realize that? And you know how easy it is to make friends? I find this friend thing, I find it amazing. It's easy to make friends. All you need to do, first of all, is you need to like that person and you need to talk to the person. I've gone to parties and things and I've ended up with new friends. Isn't that amazing? New friends. A friend is an amazing thing. Let's be good stewards of our friends. And let's make more friends. I've lived in several places already, and every time I make a new set of friends, and then they say, "Ah, but you need to stay in touch and touch and touch." And then I'm thinking, man, I've got so many friends. I make new friends everywhere I go. How am I going to stay in touch with everybody? I'm going to sit on the phone either the whole day or on email the whole day just trying to stay in touch with people. But the fact is, we make new friends. So let's see it as an opportunity. If you go to social, to parties, or whatever, see it as an opportunity to make a new friend. And just be yourself. Be yourself. That's what I'm saying. Just be yourself. Because you won't be able to, you will never make a real friend unless you are yourself. Because if you're not yourself, your friendship is not going to be a real friendship. Anyway, let's be friends. Good stewards of friends, because God wants to give us lots of friends. He wants to bless us with many, many friends. Okay. So, the next one is job. Now, job includes job if you're working, school if you're in school, university if you're in university. I'm talking about that thing that you do most of the time of the day. If you're in school, you're in school most of the time of the day. You're probably not working, or maybe some of you might be working. If you're at university, you're studying most of the time of the day. Some of you might be working, but not everybody. And if you're working, then you are working. And if you're through school, university, or whatever, and you should be working, and you're not working, then we'll pray for you for a job. You just need to want that job. But what I'm saying is, are you a good steward of school? And when you're in school, are you a good steward? Are you doing your best? If we hear that message again, that tithing message, brother. He had nothing, right? He had nothing when he came out of school. He couldn't go study. He didn't have any money. What did he do? He worked because he was on a mission. So what are we doing with our time? What are we doing in school? Are you giving your best? Because what you do in school is going to make a big difference to what's going to happen after you've finished school. You're going to put yourself into a better position if you're doing well in school. If you're doing well in university, you're going to put yourself in a better position. Now, just do your best. Not everybody is a genius in schoolwork, or not everybody is a genius in university work. I struggled at university. I had to work hard to get well. I could have worked a lot harder. But it's not easy. Then I had people in my class who didn't even come to class, and they got 96%, 100%. They weren't even in the class. And I asked him, "Sir, what's the story? Are you at home studying your butt off? That's why you're not in class?" He says, "Nah, it's boring." He says he gets bored when he sits in class. I'm there trying to concentrate to understand what this guy is saying. And if I lose my track for 2 seconds, then I'm lost. Then I'm off track. And then I have to try really hard to get back in to understand what the guy is saying. And sometimes I didn't get back in there. I'll sit through the whole classroom. What are you saying? Can you please backtrack? And when I put up my hand and I say, excuse me, can you just explain that again? He said, I've just explained it. You must listen. Anyway, so what I'm saying is not everybody is brilliant to understand and brilliant at school, but you can still do your best. Do your best. Because if you do your best, you'll find your niche. I know some architects who are brilliant architects, but they suck at maths. You know, doesn't mean if you're bad at maths, you're bad or you're not good. You just need to find what you are good at, because every single person is good at least something, and not just one thing, a lot of things. You just need to find it. But you're not going to find it if you don't start looking for it, if you're not going to give your best. You need to always give your best, and then you will find it. You will hit the bullseye. If you give your best in everything, all of a sudden you will find something. Man, that's what I'm good at. But if you don't give your best, you're never even going to find what you're good at. So give your best. Give your best. And ask God. I mean, all these things I'm talking about now. Pray. Ask God to help you. You won't be able to do it on your own. Forget it. Forget it. You're not going to be this perfect steward. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week or next month. You won't be able to change everything like this. But be aware of these things and ask God to help you. Keep going. Keep going. So unsaved friends. I'm talking here also about unsaved friends and family. Ooh, my time's almost up. We have unsaved friends and family. We are Christians. We know God. Not everybody here might be a Christian. But if you're a Christian, I always want to tell sort of everybody about God and Christianity, because I know it's the answer of life. I know God loves us. And how can somebody not how can there be anybody here who doesn't understand that God loves them and God is amazing? Anyway, let's be good stewards of the friends and family. Let's find opportunities. Let's pray. Ask God. God, give me opportunities to share your word, to tell you about God. Then I'm talking about ministry. Ministry is what we do in church, or not even just in church. Our ministry is using our gifts. God has given each one of us gifts. Okay? And are we good stewards of those gifts? If God gives you something, even just to say to somebody, if you see somebody is down, you know better. You know. You will have a word of encouragement for that person. If you see somebody who's down, you say, don't be down. God is with you. Da, 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 da. Anyway, our ministry. Health. Health is an interesting one. Did you know that you're stewards of your health, of your body? Did you know that you are stewards of your body? You only have one. And God's given it to us as a gift. Yes, there are sicknesses and things that happen to you without you, out of your control. But you have a certain measure of stewardship over your body and your health. And I'm going to leave it there. Look after yourself. Look after your body. Ask God to help you. Wealth. When I hear stewardship, I always think of an accountant. It's not just about being an accountant. But there's a big portion of our stewardship which involves wealth, money, things, possessions. What do we do with our possessions? Do we gather more and more and more so that we have lots and lots and lots and everybody can start seeing what we have? Bigger, bigger buildings so that everybody can see it. We end up building a tower with our name on it so that everybody can see, this is mine. That's not why we get wealth from God. God gives us wealth because He wants to bless us first of all. He loves us and He says, I want to bless you. Okay? But what do we do with that wealth? Do we use it to bless others or do we keep it for ourselves? If we keep it for ourselves, what usually happens is if you keep all the money for yourself, if you're a rich person and you just keep it for yourself, what usually goes with that first is you lose the enjoyment of what you have. We can have lots of things, but if you don't enjoy those things, then what's the use of having those things? And if you are selfish with what you have, you will lose the enjoyment of having those things. So you're going to end up worse. But if we have lots of things and we bless others with it, then God will allow us to enjoy what we have. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. it's much more blessed to let others enjoy what you have with you than just for yourself to enjoy it. It's lovely. Let everybody enjoy together with you. So that's our wealth. Just a quick scripture on wealth is Luke 16 verse 10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Okay. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about hindrances. Hindrances to good stewardship. What hinders us from being good stewards? Now, we have, first of all, selfishness. Selfishness hinders us from being good stewards because we want to take what we received for ourselves. It's going to hinder us. Now again, I want to point out these things, right? We have a big list. I mentioned a big list. Just would like you to think about that list and analyze where you are in all these things, and not to condemn you, because none of us is a perfect steward, okay? It's not here to condemn anybody, but it's just to point and to show something. Now, if these things are in your life, these hindrances, bring them to God. I'm going to pray for everybody after this as well, because God wants us to prosper in every area. He wants us to be good stewards in everything that we do. And if we give it to God, if we help, ask God to help us, He will help us. He will help us, and those opportunities will come and will give us more. So selfishness. If we are selfish, we will not be good stewards, because we're going to take what we've been received, we're going to keep it to ourselves, and we are not going to multiply and give back to where we received it. Pride. Pride is this. Somebody comes to you and says, look here, I'm your friend, I'm your brother, I'm your sister, and I see that you're not being a good steward here. I want to help you because I've seen this already before, and I've seen people lose and fall, and you say, Ahmed, go away, I know better. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I know better. That is pride. We need wise counsel. We need people to help us. We need people to speak into our lives. If you have pride, you will not be a good steward. If you are humble, if you say, I'm not going to let pride come in the way, you will be a good steward. Rebellion. Rebellion means somebody's given you stewardship of something and you rebel. You do your own thing. I'm not going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do something totally different. Stubbornness means you've received something and these person has asked you to do a certain thing with it, your master or whatever, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Like that person who took his talent and dug it under the ground. He was stubborn. He said, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. I'm going to put it in the ground. Covetousness. Covetousness is, I want more, 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 more. If we are steward of something, remember our wealth, our money does not belong to us. I'm going to use wealth as an example because God uses money to teach us and to train us stewardship. Money does not belong to us. Did you know that? Our money, our bank account doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Why am I saying that? Because God can decide now to take all that money away. He can decide now to take it away. Your house does not belong to you, it belongs to God. Because God can decide, I'm going to let lightning flash on that house and burn the house away. What does it mean? It's not your house. Because you don't decide what happens to it. Only God decides. God decides that car. It's not yours. Tomorrow it can get stolen. So, remember, what we have is God's. So, if we are covetous, if we covet, we want more, more, more. What does that mean? That means I want more for me, for me. You're going to lose it. Okay? You're not going to be a good steward. Sin. If there's sin in our lives, if we are working at a job, we steal money from our employer, that's sin. We're not going to be good stewards. So remember, when I talk about stewardship, there are two outcomes. You will be ruler over many things, or you will be cut in two. Anyway, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Either you will prosper, or you will definitely not prosper. You will go the other way. So let's be stewards. Let's not steal. Then the other one is sin. And I spoke about sin. Sin also, sexual sin in marriages. You're not going to be a good steward. It's going to hold you. It's going to keep you from being a good steward if there's sexual sin in your life. How are you going to be a good steward of your marriage if you're struggling with sexual sin? Anyway, again, I'm not here talking to condemn anybody. Everybody struggles with these things, right? But we need to be aware of it. If we're struggling in our marriage, look at what is in our lives. What is happening? What am I doing? Addiction. Woo. Addiction. Addiction is a stronghold from the enemy. The enemy comes and he gives you and makes a stronghold. And what is addiction? It's something that happens, you can't control it. You can't get away from it. I'm talking about the drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, shopping, gambling, alcohol, lots of things. Addiction. We need to break these addictions in our lives, and God wants to do that. He wants to break addictions in your life because it's holding you back. It's holding you back. Offense. Offense is something like somebody has done something against me and I'm offended. I'm upset with that person. I don't want to forgive that person because they've hurt me. That's offense. You're not going to be a good steward of your relationships with your friends, with your children, with people around you if you're offended, if you're upset with somebody because you are not going to be nice to them. Unforgiveness, if there's unforgiveness in your life. Is there unforgiveness in your life? You're not going to be a good steward of your relationships if there's unforgiveness. I haven't forgiven you, but why are we not good friends anymore? Yeah, because you haven't forgiven, all right? Now, dishonesty, if we are dishonest with our job giver or anything, dishonesty, you're not going to be a good steward. How can I employ somebody and they're going to be dishonest to me? I'm going to employ somebody to be a steward over something and they're going to be dishonest. How am I going to, how's that going to work? It's not going to work. Insecurity. Insecurity means I'm insecure. I don't feel like I can do the job. I can't do the job. It's too much. I can't be a father. It's too much. I can't do the job. I'm at school. Ooh, I can't. It's too hard for me. That's insecurity. God is saying to you, you are able to do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we might feel we've fallen again and again and again in the same pit. I've sinned again and again. I'm addicted to this and I've fallen again and again and again. You might think, oh, I'm just bad and I suck and I will never get out of this. That's the lie of the enemy. The enemy is telling you you will never get out of that because they want to keep you there. You need to say, take God's word and say, I will get out of this. Then lastly, I want to talk about time wasters. Time wasters it's also a form of addiction. And I mean TV, computer, internet. They can be huge time wasters. You're not going to be a good steward of your time if you spend too much time wasted. Just something to be aware of. Now, how to become a better steward? Understand, first of all, and realize that you are a steward of all these things. God has given you that stewardship. We need to understand it, first of all. If we don't know it and don't understand it, we're not going to be better in it. Now, evaluate your current situation. Evaluate where you are in your stewardship. Look at all these things and think, where am I? Am I doing well or not? And then take action. Seek God for wisdom in prayer. Seek Him for wisdom. Ask Him to help you. Study the stewardship manual. Okay, we need to study this word. Seek counsel and advice from godly men and women. Seek counsel and advice from people around you who know God, who know better. Come to church, small groups, Bible school, foundation courses. Come learn. And then serve in the church. Try and serve somewhere. Help with the tea and the coffee. Help with cleaning up. Or help in the play in music. Play your instrument. Help. Get involved. Be around people. Because then you're going to learn stewardship. Now, start improving your stewardship. But you need to take action. Take some action, okay? If you don't take action, nothing's going to happen. Action, motion, action. Make a decision and take action. You know, do it. Today I'm going to be better at school. Today I'm going to study harder. Today I'm going to do my homework. One day at a time. All right, so if anybody here desires to be a better steward of their lives and of the different things and what I've mentioned, there might be things I haven't mentioned. If anybody here wants to be a better steward, I want to ask you to stand. See, even Kayla standing. She knows. She's She's understood. She's so small. She knows, I want to be a better steward of my life. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody here today, Lord. I just praise you and glorify you for every person here today, because you've got plans to prosper everybody here. You've got a future and a hope for everybody here, Lord. And we just break down the lie of the enemy that says you have no hope and you have no future. We just come against that lie right now in Jesus' name. I pull down that stronghold in every person's life. The stronghold that says you are not worth anything. We pull down that stronghold in Jesus' name, Lord. And any stronghold of addiction, Father, we pull it down. Lord, all these things that we mentioned that are hindrances to good stewardship, Father, we just pull down those strongholds in every person here in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that you bless everybody here, Lord. You see everybody's heart, Lord. We want to be better stewards of what you've given us, Lord. Because we know if we are good stewards, Lord, you will make us ruler over much, Lord. And you will give us more things to be stewards of, Lord. And Father, I pray for a revelation here today, Lord, of stewardship. I pray, Lord, for a revelation, Lord, as we are in our place of stewardship, that we will know, ooh, this is a place of stewardship where I am called to be a steward. Lord, and I pray that you will help us, Lord. We need your help, Lord. We cannot do this on our own, Lord. We can try in our own strength, but we won't be able to do it without you, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us, that you will lead us, and you will guide us. Lord, I pray, give us a hunger for your word. Lord, let us eat your word. Let us study your word. This manual, this stewardship manual, Lord, this manual of life. Lord, give us a hunger for it and give us understanding. Give us revelation. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Give us understanding in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every one of these areas of stewardship, some of us are not even, don't have these areas yet, Lord. We're not yet married. We don't yet have children, Lord. We don't yet have a job, Lord. And I pray, Father, that even the areas that we are not in yet, I pray that you will now already, Lord, plant a seed, Lord, so that when we get to that place, Lord, that we will know what to do, that we will understand what it is to be a good steward, and that you will help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be better stewards. Lord, I pray for all the children, Lord, here, all the people, all the school kids, Lord, that are in school, Lord. And I know, thank you, Father, that you have great plans for them, Lord. Plans to prosper them, not to harm them, Lord. You've got a future and a hope for them, Lord. Every one of them here, Lord God. And they've put up their hand and said, Lord, I want to be a good steward of what you've given me, Lord. And I just speak, Lord, great careers into their life. I speak, Lord, great futures into their life, Lord. I speak, Lord God, great spouses over them, Lord. Husbands and wives over them, Lord God. And I speak, Lord, great children, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they will be that they will give and leave an inheritance to their children's children, Lord. Because you are going to give them the wisdom, Lord, to be great fathers and mothers, Lord. And they will teach their children, Lord, your ways, Father. Lord, and their children will be great in this land, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for greatness over every single person here, Lord. Every school child here today, Lord. I thank you for greatness over them in Jesus' name, Lord. And I just break every single negative word, any lie that's been spoken over them, Lord. We just break that in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for every person, Lord, who's studying, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will help them to be good stewards of their studies. And Lord, that you will bless them, Lord. I pray for every person, Lord, who's working, Lord, and even those who are looking for work, Father. I pray, Lord God, that whatever they put their hand to, that it will prosper in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father, for every marriage in this place, Lord. You know where everybody is at. I pray, Lord God, for prosperous marriages, Lord. I pray, Father, for reconciliations, Lord. I pray for restoration. What has been stolen, that it will be returned in Jesus' name, Lord God. I pray for love for one another, Lord. Just instill that love, Lord God. Lord, I pray for humility, Lord. I pray, Father, pull down the stronghold of pride in people's lives, Lord God. I pray your blessing over every marriage. I pray for the children here, Lord. I pray for parents, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for wisdom to be excellent parents, to be great parents, Lord, full of love and compassion. And give, Lord, the parents the wisdom, Lord, to raise their children, Lord, in a godly way, Lord. Lord, we praise you, Lord, and I pray for every other area of stewardship, Lord, that we will be good stewards, Lord, as you give us those talents, Lord, 5 and 2 and even 1, Lord God, that we will multiply these talents in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that no single talent that falls in our hands here, the people here today, no talent that falls in our hands, Lord, that it will be buried, Lord, but every single talent will be multiplied in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for multiplication of talents, Lord, every single person here in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for a renewed mind, Lord God, even those who feel like they've got talents, they don't know what to do with them. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you will help, Lord, us here, Lord, to use our talents for your glory in Jesus' name. For your glory, Father, for you are glorious. You are amazing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every person's future. But today is a new day. I thank you, Lord, that today is a new day, Lord God. Lord, there's no pressure, but Lord, I thank you that you've started a great thing here today. You've sown a seed, Lord. And I thank you that seed will grow, Lord God. And that, Father, we will be different men and women of God, Lord, because we understand, Lord, your stewardship that you've given us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to be wise and to give wisdom to others, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here who wants specific prayer in any area, specific prayer, please come forward. I will be here. Norbert will be here. My parents will be here. And so if there's any specific need that you have to pray for, please come forward. And I just want to say, bless you. May his face shine down upon you. You are precious children in God's eyes. And he's got only good things for you. Just know that. He's got only good things for you. He's got no bad thing for you. And don't believe the lie of the enemy. Trust God. Say, Lord, I thank you. And start off every day with saying, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Amen.